Imagine, no financial stress, no running around to check and monitor your future. But that's not what's happening, is it? Half your money and time is spent on following up on all your financial needs. Is my wealth growing or shrinking? What will happen with my estate when I'm gone? Is my retirement fund where it needs to be? Am I covered for all disabilities? How will my family know who to turn to for what? Why not put everything into one safe place? At Verso Wealth, we offer cost effectiveness and simplicity, giving you 100% security to help you changing your goals into reality.
Contact Verso Wealth on 043-727-1340 or info@verso.co.za.
Thursday morning at just after 8 on Wild Coast Radio, we talk to Thane from Verso Wealth with today's edition of Practical Finance, part 2 of the questions that you need to ask your financial advisor. Thane, very good morning.
Thank you, Wayne. Nice to be here.
And last week we started the series. We started off with those questions, very important questions you need to ask. You've just met your financial advisor. You need to find out a little bit about this person to make sure that he or she fits your profile. If we can just recap the questions that we asked last week that we covered, to start with, what should we have asked the financial advisor?
Thank you, Wayne. So the financial advisor is such an important person to help you achieve your financial goals and objectives. So it's important that you get the right financial advisor. So we suggested last week you ask the financial advisor about his qualifications, about his experience. Importantly, we suggested you ask him how he's going to get paid for assisting you, because no one works for free. And if they tell you that, they are not, the truth is not within them. And then we started chatting about asking your advisor his investment philosophy, and we asked about risk tolerance, and you know, you could also ask them, just to follow on that, about how they use asset allocation, which basically means how are they going to invest your money in cash, in property, in shares, that kind of question is very, very important. And how are they going to diversify your portfolio? Because as you and I both know, keeping all your eggs in one basket ain't a good idea. So that's very important to ask them how they manage that. So remember, you've got a relationship with this financial advisor, and relationships, as you know, are based on communication. You know, if you're married, you know that. If you're not married, it's a good time to learn. So ask him or her, how are you going to communicate with me? You know, are you going to see me once a year? Are you going to send me an email once a year? Are you going to have a Zoom or what's a Teams meeting with me? But clear up the expectations right now. How often are you going to talk to me? What are you going to send me? How are you going to manage my expectations? Because at the end of the day, I'm walking a road with you. You need to talk to me to see if I'm not deviating. Because life happens, and somehow every now and again you've got to be pulled back onto the straight and narrow, as it were. So communication with your financial advisor is critical. You know, I think if you're going to buy a car, you need to talk to your financial advisor. If you're going to buy a house, talk to your financial advisor. If you want to buy a policy or cancel a policy or change a policy, talk to your financial advisor. Very often you're going into a financial institution and products are shoved down your throat, whereas your financial advisor is looking to provide you with a strategy. The product is the solution to the strategy. But sadly, sometimes people are sold unsuitable products without having full knowledge of the client's circumstances.
And sometimes it's institutions like banks, you know, they want to try and slip an insurance policy tied to an account or a loan or something like that.
So that does happen. I'm not saying it's wrong, but check with your financial advisor.
Double check it. That's what the person's there for.
We had an instance, Wayne, where I found out that exactly what you've said happened. And the lady involved, a professional, was heavily overinsured. So, I don't do this often, but I suggested after analyzing her situation, listen, you didn't need that second policy, you know. So, yeah, I think you're spot on there. Refer to your financial advisor. Mm. He's getting paid and he's got your best interest at heart. Talk to him or her. Okay. So communication is critical. Part of his job or her job is to produce a financial plan. What's going to happen if I pass away?
Mm.
What's going to happen if I become disabled? What's going to happen if I suffer a critical illness like a heart attack or cancer? What happens if I lose my job and I can't work for 6 months? Or if I'm ill for 6 months or a year, how does this affect my financial integrity? And it would be nice if all of us didn't need risk cover. Because remember, insurance is there to protect your income. Life insurance is to protect your income. I'm going to say that again because it's not about the life insurance. It's about protecting your income so that if something happens to you, your financial world doesn't tumble.
Doesn't come crashing down
in a house of cards. So that is so critical. So the process one needs to follow is, well, in my space, I like to think, let's cover the areas of over which you have no control. Let's call it risk.
Mm.
So you should be having health insurance if you can. You need a short-term insurance on your car. Someone bashes into your car and you don't have insurance and they don't have insurance. Then it could be a problem.
It's expensive.
Yeah. So I also like my clients for unforeseen emergencies to have a rainy day fund or a slush fund. Everyone calls it a different thing. But effectively, it's about 3 months' salary at minimum in a money market account or something like that so that you don't have to borrow money when the fridge packs up or when you need 4 new tires. So he needs to talk to you or she needs to talk to you as a financial advisor. This is how I'm going to protect you. These are the opportunities and the threats that from a financial perspective are going to come your way over your lifetime. So the process is very, very important. Last week we alluded to a specific process. I don't want to go into all the detail because it could be quite time-consuming. But for the purposes of this exercise, I think if your financial advisor is not following these 6 steps, you need to bring him back and ask him to implement those steps for you. And they are the following. First of all, number one, he's got to obtain all your information.
Mm.
You can't, it's garbage in, garbage out. I can't do your estate analysis and your will and things like that without knowing your whole picture. So give him your full financial situation as far as your assets are concerned, as far as what debt you have, all those kind of things. Then he's got to, obviously at this point in time, he's already introduced himself to you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be sharing this information. Sorry. So introduction is number one. Mm. So now he's going to get the information from you. Then he's got to analyze the information. And once he's analyzed that information, he's got to come to you with recommendations. This is what you've got. We don't think it's that good or this is excellent. Keep that. So he's got to come to you with recommendations. And then ideally, you would like him to implement them. There's no point in telling you what to do and then you walk away and you haven't
clue
how to implement it. And for me, one of the most critical parts of a financial planning relationship is reviews. So every single client of ours, and I'm sure most financial planners as well, they need to review your situation on an annual basis.
Mm.
Or if there's a huge change in your circumstances, maybe a death or a divorce or insolvency or something like that. So it needs to be reviewed. Mm. How often? Ask me. How often do you think?
Well, how often? I suppose it depends on the circumstances.
Correct. Mostly at least once a year.
Mm.
In fact, I think the compliance legislation says at least once a year. Doesn't have to be face-to-face, but at least talk to me, Mr. Financial Advisor. Mm. Tell me what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. There's no point in me sticking with when the horse is dead, get off.
Yeah.
You know, so talk to me about the developments in the industry. So that's very important from a financial plan perspective. So part of that review is, how are you going to monitor my finances? Are you going to be able to adjust my plan? And how do you do that? How do you communicate that with me? So I almost want to say to you that the review is such a critical part of a successful financial plan. Do I pay for a review? That's another question. Or is it part of the fee that's already built in
over the year?
Yeah, so that's so important to do that. And then, as I mentioned earlier in the series, I did say, well, very often a financial advisor gets clients from referrals. So Wayne likes his financial advisor, so he refers him to someone else. You need to ask for referrals, you know, because one person is good to have a referral from, but imagine if you've got three referrals. So you can say, okay, tell me, Mr. Financial Advisor or Miss Financial Advisor, which three clients have you dealt with? Would you mind if I phoned them? Do you have a written letter of testimonial, almost like a CV, you know? We're scared to do that because it's sort of almost uncomfortable, but clearly, if it's someone you don't know,
you need to just reassure yourself.
Correct. Yeah, I know. It's so true. I suppose the next question would be, how are you going to protect me and my personal and confidential financial information? We all know about the POPI Act, which is the Protection of Personal Information Act. I just wish someone would tell the call centers that there's such an act.
Yeah, are you talking about those ones that keep phoning you?
Yes, and it comes up with spam call in red on your phone. Yeah. So ask him, how's he going to do that? Does he have a software in place on his computer or on his emails to actually protect your information? Because it is absolutely scary what's happening out there as far as scams and phishing.
And an example is what happens if the office gets broken into or the office burns down or, you know, something happens to the place where all this paperwork and information is being kept.
You know, sometimes I wonder, I'm sure you can actually read my mind. Today I went to a store and I was so impressed with their sign they put up, and I'm actually going to read it for you. It's put up in front of the employee's desk. It says, there it is, I'm showing it to Wayne. Okay. It says, you must always keep personal information secure. Number one, lock your drawers. Number two, keep your desk clear of personal information. Three, lock your computer screen. Four, dispose of personal information in confidential waste bins or in our office we shred it. Change your password on a regular basis. Think POPI, you know. So isn't that so true? I think that's a wonderful sign. You know, we all should have
just
that.
To remind people that they've got to do that.
Correct, yeah. So you need to ask him, does he have those things. We also are so alert. It's not only about protect, you know, it's about this whole cybersecurity thing. Is there a cybersecurity policy in place in your company? How am I going? Because these people are really clever, these scam artists, you know. So I think it's important to ask that question. It might be great to have a superb financial advisor, but then your information is not protected.
Or he operates out of the boot of his car.
But you see, that is now, Wayne, covered in your letter of introduction. He's got to give you an address. You laugh. Yeah. That has happened before. I'm talking about many years ago, of course.
Yeah.
So I think the last question I would ask is something to the tune of, I don't care how long you've been in the industry. How are you keeping up
with the changes?
With the changes and trends. Do you have like we call it CPD. Do you have continuous professional development points or do you go on training courses? So that is so critical because little things change all the time that can impact upon you. And one of the talks we're going to talk about is the two-pot retirement system that's kicking into place in 1 September
this year.
Ask the financial advisor, how do you do your continuous professional development? As a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, so you ask does everybody not have to have the CFP? He has a real difference.
Mm.
So in order to practice as a financial advisor, the government says you, Mr. Financial Advisor, have to have 18 CPD points, which basically equates to 18 hours of continuous professional development. If you want to be a CFP, you have to do 35 points, which is 35 hours. So that alone will tell you there's a difference between a CFP and a non-CFP. You know, and I'm biased. I admit my hands are in the air. I am a CFP, and I'm proud of it. So there we go. That is the questions to ask your financial advisor to make sure you can build this trusted relationship as an advisor client.
And once you've asked those questions, you have probably decided whether or not this is the right person for you.
Exactly. Or the advisor might think, "Oh, this person knows too much. I'm not gonna stick."
This client doesn't need me.
Yeah. No. So there are a lot of books on how to be your own financial advisor. Mm. And with the internet, there's so much information around. But
is it the right information?
Is it advice? Is it wisdom? You know,
is it relevant to South African laws,
correct,
your tax laws, and all the other ins and outs?
And that brings us to that thing about AI, artificial intelligence. Maybe we should chat about that sometime.
Artificial intelligence is an interesting topic, especially when it comes into, you know, crunching numbers and just getting artificial intelligence to make the decisions and to create the advice. Maybe we'll chat about that in the next episode.
That's a good idea.
But before we wrap up today, let me just remind you that all the information that we give out today is, of course, it's
entertainment, it's fun, it's to help you, but it needs to be suitable to your own circumstances, Wayne. So please tell our listeners.
You must talk to your own financial advisor, and any of the information is advice, but please consult your own financial advisor.
But if you want to talk to us.
And if you want to talk to Thane or people at Versa Wealth.
Yeah, so I've got to remind him sometimes about this, listeners. So we are in East London. We're based in Vincent, East London. Phone number is 043-727-1340. We are an authorized financial services provider. And if you're streaming Wild Coast Radio from across the world, you're welcome to pop an email to info@verso.co.za.
Great, Thane. Thank you very much. And that's episode 2 of our Practical Finance series. And next week, we'll be talking about artificial intelligence and how it can or possibly can't assist you with your finances. Thanks, Thane. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone.